just a moment. Leon, I would ask, would you be able to lead us in prayer this evening? Okay, Leon's going to lead us in opening prayer. Amen. All right, we're dealing with the church at Thessalonica, one of the churches of Macedonia. Remember, he went from Philippi to Thessalonica. He's writing a letter to these Christians at this time. I don't know if you've done it or not, but again, as I think back of chapter 1, I think of their election, how they turned to serve the Lord. And then chapter 2, I show, in my mind, you have 13, the idea how they received. They receive the word of God, not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. And then in chapter 3, he was concerned about their faith because he didn't stay there that long. So he sent Timothy to check to see how their faith was, and he was got a good report for that from them, from Timothy. And of course, in chapter 4, basically you've got an area where he's dealing with a problem with the sexual looseness, but more specifically, he's at the end of the chapter, he's dealing with the problem where they were thinking those who had already died had missed the second coming of the Lord, so he addresses that. And then if we get time, we'll go into chapter 5, because there he talks about the second coming. All right, so we're on question number 2, list 2 verses from chapter 4, that focuses on brotherly love. What 2 verses did you have from chapter 4? 9 and 10. That's what I had, 9 and 10. We all have that there on that booklet. We're not going to discuss there because the next A, we discuss all of that. So, you know, it's talking about our loving of the brethren. Give me some examples as to how we would do that. Huh? We could pray for each other. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, if there happens to be physical needs, to help one another with their physical needs, as they did in Acts chapter 2 and also in Acts chapter 11, where there was a great famine and they helped on that occasion. Very good. Anybody else? Don't do wrong to the brethren. Or take advantage of them. That's very good also. Again, you would think that shouldn't be brought up, but it is, because we're all human beings and we have to watch out for some of our attitudes, and we've got to be careful of jealousies and things like that. Okay, anybody else? Yes, Daryl.
We also need to be willing to confront
them. Okay.
Oh.
Right, the Hebrews 3, 12, and 13, to help one another so we don't become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That would be another. Romans chapter 12, 10, one of the ones we don't pay attention to, and that is giving preference to one another. Again, this congregation is fortunate that you have had elders for a lengthy period of time, and hopefully and prayerfully that'll continue on. But in business meetings, and I can speak extensively, and I had mostly good business meetings, but when you don't have elders, you have business meetings. And one of the things that happens sometimes in business meetings is people are jockeying for attention to get credit. And, of course, that's where problems come in, when people want to get credit instead of just hopefully the work gets moved forward. So you have that. So I understand. That's one example of that. But, again, we need to give preference to one another. Now, again, when I say give preference, What comes to your mind when we say give preference to one another? Right. Look at the other's good. And if it's brought up and if it's being exhibited, that's fine. And say, well, that's never been said about me. So what? You know, does God know? Yeah, God knows. And of course, there are times we can upset one another. Human beings, we do that, do we not? Okay, that's a good point. Even without intending to. And it needs to be corrected, of course, but then we need to forgive one another. We need to not hold a vendetta against another brother or sister. Now, I'm not saying any of that is happening here, but over the years, I've seen some of those things happen. And of course, that doesn't do well for the Lord's congregation, because let's go to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34, 35. Danielle, are you there? You want to read that for me, please? Notice by this goes back to what verse? Loving each other, right? Now, we also should be known by the doctrine we stand for. But here it's not talking about doctrine. Here it's talking about loving one another. By this, when someone comes into the congregation, they should see the love one towards another. They should also see a pure doctrine, but you put those two together, do you not? If you have the pure doctrine and you don't have love one for another, you got a problem. So you have that situation. And again, when we talk about loving one another, that goes with Galatians, that we're to serve one another. It doesn't matter whether or not you've been served, you serve others. I think sometimes it's kind of tit for tat, and I don't like that at all. In other words, how many of you have had in family situations, well, you ate at my house, now I ate at your house, you need to come to my house. And it's almost a running tally that, we've been there, now they've got to be here. I don't like that. I don't want someone to have me because they think they have to have me. How about you? Do you like that? No. Now, if you want to have someone, that's fine. Whether or not they ever have you, that's really not the point. The point is, so again, on serving one another, even though sometimes people don't do that. I think one of the problems as Christians, especially when things aren't going well, we look at others instead of whom? Ourselves. We look at others instead of ourselves. Well, if this person would do this, or if that person would do that, if the preacher would do this, if the elders would do that, well, perhaps you're right on some of those things. However, goes back to you. What are you doing? It's always easy. You know what? I am the best football player that has ever lived. Because I can sit in my chair and say, now, honestly, I'm not. I'm just saying. But in my mind, I don't know why these coaches don't call me and let me reveal my great information to them. You know, you see this quarterback, he drops down to the ground, and I'm yelling at him because he could have gotten five more yards. But I'm not him being chased by a 260-pound person who's all muscle. I'd probably drop to the ground, too. We don't need any armchair quarterbacks in the Lord's church. You know, it's not, well, when you get to see the position, well, he should or she should, you should have a little red dot in your mind. What should you be doing? You see, that's the important point. What should you be doing? Should they be doing some things? Perhaps. But then you have no control over that now, do you? You have control over yourself. One of the things that used to be one of my pet peeves, and then we'll move on, up north. Very simple service. Wintertime up north, Chicago, it gets cold. You get snow. You get ice. And it's just miserable in the wintertime. And you have a lot of Kleenexes everywhere because people are sniffling. And I'm not saying they do so on purpose, but they leave their Kleenexes. And what people do, they walk by, but hey, it's not my month to clean. I hope they get that before I get back here Sunday. No. Go grab another one if you don't want to touch it. Pick it up and throw it away. I got on to one man years ago. I saw him. His name was Carl. I said, Carl, what are you doing? He was stuffing paper in by the songbook area. I said, why are you doing that? Well, I want to see if they're cleaning. I said, you don't do things like that. I'm not making this up, and I confronted him on that. I said, how often have you cleaned the building? And, of course, the answer was, never. I am not the person to try to put things to see whether or not they've cleaned. I will say this. I'm not saying he never did it again, but he never did it with me around because he knew. But that's ridiculous. You know, if he's so concerned that that person's not doing a good enough job, what should he do? Help or do it himself, either or. Now, I'm not saying people won't miss things, but to kind of put traps out, that is a sad, sad situation. And he wasn't happy, but you know what? I wasn't happy either. And yes, he still kept on coming. But the situation is, you see something needs to be done, and if you are capable of doing it, then do it. Now, there's some things that I don't consider myself capable of, and I'd call David. Okay. I go to the go-to guy. But if there's something that I can do, I'll do it. So won't you? Now, when it comes to the electronics, I know nothing. They've offered to teach me, and I declined. This is one of those things, the less you know about something, the better off you are. Although there might come a time I must retract my declaration if we don't have enough people doing it. But I'm thankful. So if there's something you can do, do it. Don't do like one brother did one time. He was going to be helpful with his work. He was on light duty work. He was a truck driver. Couldn't drive his truck. So he's in the office, and they wanted him to dust down the desks, but not the computers. So guess what he did? He got his old dust rag, and he is going to make this thing spotless. And he started swiping all the keys on every single computer, and I guess something wasn't shut off. How do you think it was the next day when they came in? It was chaos. So again, if you can do something, do it. If you can't do something, then tell someone else and they'll get it done. But this idea, it's not my job, that doesn't work with me. We're Christians. It's your job to do what? Serve one another. Right? All right, anybody else on that one? Let's move on to the next question. List some lessons we can learn from 4, 11, and 12. You should at least have four things there. Four things. What's one of the things? Okay, let's start with mind your own business. Kind of self-evident, right? Mind your own. Why do some people want to know everybody's business? I don't understand. So they can share it. Yeah. Had a good preacher friend years ago. Wanted to know what I made. My answer was to him, enough. I make enough. I don't feel compelled that I have to tell other preachers what I make. Nor do I ask other preachers what they make. It's none of my business. That's between them and the congregation that they do, correct? He never asked that question again. I used to tell the men at Berwyn, I understand they had to post the the sheet on the board from time to time to let the congregation know, because I'm not ashamed as to the local congregation knowing what I'm making. But I don't want the whole world to know when they come in, so I don't want it at all. It'd be like you putting your salary up on the board every week. I don't think people would like that, would they? So it's a situation we've got to be careful of. I'll mind my own business. You mind your own business. There is no union scale, pay scale when it comes to preaching. It's up to each individual congregation. So again, he was a good friend of mine, but I told him, I said, you're quite nosy. I said, I don't want to know what you, I'll tell you what I don't want to know what you make. Now that's between you and your local congregation. It has nothing to do with me. And at that time, I was receiving some outside support, but then again, we have, and preachers sometimes can get nosy, but other people sometimes can get nosy in other areas, could they not? So we've got to be careful. When you're sharing something about someone, ask yourself, why? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it to try to be beneficial under the circumstance? Or are you doing it in a way that might lead to something that's not the best? Yes, go ahead, David.
You can also think of it like, if I'm talking about somebody, would I like it if somebody was talking about me? So that usually stops me. I said, no, I don't want to talk about somebody, because I wouldn't want them talking about me.
Absolutely. Good point, David. That's a good point to remember. Again, that won't guarantee someone's not talking about you, but again, you don't want to set the example that, you know, I'm doing just what he does. No, we've got to be careful. And, you know, we used to always talk about women being busybodies in other people's matters, right? Men are just as bad. True or false? Yeah. Men can be just as bad. So we've got to be careful. Now, when it talks about when I'm talking to people from other congregations, I focus on the positive. Not that there's a whole lot of negative, but I focus on the positive. They don't need to know the negative. If there's negative, we'll deal with it where? Locally. Right? Now, if somebody asks me, how's things going at Lakeland Hills? I'll be genuine, and I'll talk about positive things. If there's something negative going on, I'm not going to tell people on that. And so that's what sometimes preachers get in trouble on, as they get together and it's a gab fest of all what's wrong with the Lord's church. If the Lord's church is so bad, why is it still in existence? There's a lot of good things about the church, isn't there? Now, we've got to deal with the negative. I understand that. The trouble is when you share a negative from the local congregation to those of other congregations, I will guarantee you that negative will be a whole lot different by the time it reaches the fourth person. Do you realize the preacher at Lake Gibson about 4 months ago, 5 months, he said, Chuck, I heard you're no longer at Lake Gibson. I said, I don't know where you heard that at. Or Lakeland Hills. Lake Gibson, well, he was Lake Gibson, but he came to me and he said, I hear you're no longer at Lakeland Hills. I said, well, I don't know where they got their information, but to my knowledge, I'm still there. It's not a bad thing, but how did it even get out? Who would say something like that? There you go, yes. Now, that's a rough one. You don't want to get involved in that. Again, be careful. Yes, Joe.
I didn't think you could see me back here, but anyway, I missed the first part of that question, those 4 things. It said, study to be quiet.
Amen.
And that's got to make a statement.
Yeah. Then it's a time to be quiet.
I wanted to throw that in because it says it right here. That's what I put down. The first woman was studying to be quiet.
to be quiet. And you're right, that is the first one. We jumped into the second one, but the first one is to lead a quiet life. Yeah, to be quiet. You know, to not be a rebel rouser. Yes, Danielle. Yeah, lead a quiet life. That does not, okay, we don't want to go off on a tangent. That doesn't mean you don't stand for the truth. But like I brought up when we studied this before, you don't have to be the devil's advocate. You don't have to stir up the pot. Do you know some people, and I'm not saying here, do you know anybody in your life who likes to stir up things? And how does that go? Not well, usually, right? You say, well, they really get the conversation going. Yeah, they get the conversation going in the wrong direction. A direction you don't want to go to. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's some things I'll talk with some people and there's other things I won't talk with some people. I very seldom talk to hardly any people when it comes to politics, and we're not going to get into that tonight because that just can create a lot of problems. It's not my position to tell you what you need to believe or what you need to follow. I have some strong convictions on that, but you want to create an argument, just throw that up. Or throw religion up amongst those who... Now, will I be willing to talk religion? Absolutely. But I let the others start it off because I don't want them to think I'm trying to preach at them. In fact, my mom used to tell others, she said, you don't want to talk to Chuck because all he's going to do is quote you scriptures. And I took that as a compliment. She didn't mean it as a compliment, but I took that as a compliment. Because I would go to verses. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to people, but again, I'm not there to stir up the pot. But if somebody brings up something, I will be happy to discuss that, even if it does become a little bit heated. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference there? Okay. Anybody else on those first two? Because we've got to go to the next one. You have lead a quiet life. You have mind your own business. Work with, that just simply means, thank you. When we talk about not being lazy, let's go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. And by the way, I'm using this as an illustration as what happens to me. One thing I really enjoy about Publix. Whether you like Publix or not, that's your choice. You go whatever store you want to go to. But one thing I like about Publix is if you find a worker in the aisle and you're looking for something, they're going to proceed to help you find whatever you're looking for and even possibly go to the back to see if they have it. And that makes me so happy. Now, not that I'm trying to make them do extra work, but, you know, they'll say, well, it's in aisle six. And I say, okay, I'll get, no, and they insist on walking me to aisle six. You know, I don't know if that's the format of that corporation. I'm assuming it is. But that's a good format. Because I'll go into some other places.
It's over there.
Exactly.
Or you can't find
them. Oh, you can't. Over there. And we're not dealing with a two-aisle store. We're dealing with 35 aisles over there. And like you said, it might be over there, but it might be on the bottom shelf, and I don't know that. You know, and it just, and I just attribute that to laziness. So that's the one thing I, so let's read that proverb one. Let's go ahead. T, are you there?
Yes.
You want to read that for me, please? We're in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. I love that proverb. I don't love that that's a problem, but that is a problem.
You say it all the time to my friends.
Yeah.
Not even
Okay, people live in different economic levels. We all agree on that. But there is no reason, regardless of what your economic level, to keep up with whatever you have. Does that make sense? I mean, you might not have a $400,000 home. You might have a home that might always be classified as close to a shanty. But can you keep it up and keep it nice to the best of your ability? Yeah. When I got to Berwyn years ago, I was fit to be tied. It was a small congregation becoming smaller, and I went down to the lower level where they had some classrooms, and it was horrendous, wasn't it, Susan? Horrendous. And I got onto the men that were there and said, why is that? They had the funds. All they needed is the labor to get things done. They had walls taken half down because there was some moisture barriers that had to be fixed. Their bathrooms, if I would hold it to go home and use their bathroom. I said, how in the world do we reach people when we invite them to services and they come down to this pit hole? So one of the first things we did, and I'm not crediting me because we had two other brethren that worked real hard on that, is we cleaned up that basement. And when people started coming by who were familiar, wow. And then all of a sudden people taking pride and you're doing some other things. And I'm not saying cleaning up the basement caused it to grow, but it grew from the teens to the 30s, almost to the 40s. How about that? There's no reason to be lazy. You know, someone goes in the home, I'm not a good homemaker. I don't know how you justify being a good, I don't know what is entailed. But it should be, I should be able to walk into your house. And if I can't walk into your house, something's wrong. Right? Laziness. I couldn't be a recruiter. I told some of those who are bosses, I wouldn't be a very good boss because I'd be firing people. Upsets me to no end when people are standing around and I need help. Does that bother anyone else but me? If it bothers you, raise your hand. That's laziness. Now, I really can't blame the person. I blame those who brought up that person. I really do. My mom, you know, she didn't know a whole lot about all the passages, but she had a lot of biblical principles. And she would always tell me, Chuck, when you go to work, you give your best because you're representing my name. Whoa! And I didn't want to put a black mark on her name. So I gave my best. And then when I'd go home to complain, she didn't like that either. So I learned, keep my mouth shut and murmur under my breath. I'm not saying I never complained, but I didn't let her hear. And again, it's just the work ethic. Chicago, they had problem getting people to work because of minimum wage. Are you serious? What do you want your 17-year-old? You want them to make $35 an hour? Good luck. They start at minimum wage. How about that? I mean, and then we're saying, well, we need to get these fast food places to get living wage. The fast food places was never meant for people to like make their livelihood. That basically live, fast food was for young people to work. Right? But you give your best. And when I hear people say, that's not my job, I have to remind myself I'm a Christian. Because I like to bat them on the side of the head. And when I see Christians being lazy, I just shake my head. Because sometimes Christians are lazy. And I'll tell you another thing that brought even more laziness amongst Christians. Our technology. If there's someone listening tonight who could have been here and you're not. Shame on you. Now, I know we have some who can't be here because of their health, and I'm glad they can get what's happening. But if you're in my voice range watching this and you could have been here, shame on you. Quit being lazy, get up, and get on over. And that's Wednesday night, that's Sunday morning, and that's Sunday night. And don't come to me and say, show me where I have to go 3 times a week. Because that shows me your lack of understanding of the New Testament church. You should want to be with the Lord's people. I think we've made something that we thought was good has now become an abuse. And it's not just here, it's congregations all over the land. That, well, I can't make it, but I'll watch it on video. That was not the initial purpose of the video. And again, I'm not saying we should do away with the video because there are people who are homebound. And I'm glad they do have that to facilitate them. But we got far, far too many people across this nation who call themselves Christians who are lazy. And that's going to be a downfall of a lot of the churches. That's my opinion. I stick by it. But I do consider that being another thing. Because it does take effort to get here. Many of you had a hard day today, and it could have been very easy to stay home. But it took effort for you to get here, does it not? It's going to take effort for you to go home, does it not? So lazy people don't want to put forth the effort. They want to just sit back and twiddle their thumbs. And those will be the very ones who complain if the church no longer exists in that area. Shame on us if we do that. Don't be lazy. And then there's one more thing, and that is our example to those who are outside. Right? To walk properly to those outside. Because they're always watching you. Correct? And sometimes we do good, sometimes we fail. Yes, David. It doesn't. No. Amen. I agree with you totally. So again, I have to be careful for my example. Especially do I have to be careful for my example when I get upset. Now again, maybe you never get upset, and I am so proud of you. But I get upset sometimes, and I have to remind my puny brain when I get upset, don't do the wrong action, because someone who knows me, they're going to see that wrong action, and they're going to cling to that indefinitely, right? So we've got to be careful there. I've got to be careful there. It's something I work on. It's something you work on. You know, when you go to the store because they didn't handle things right and you deserve $6 back or $8 back. Okay, you have a right to go back, but don't act like a jerk when you go back. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but seriously, you call yourself a Christian and you're raking this person over the coal. And my wife always does good, but I had to use her one time, not in the most positive light. I'm going home with you tonight, Leon. We like going to the state fairs. And when we were in Illinois, we'd always go to the Wisconsin State Fair. Because what was that silly thing you bought? That roller. That's it. Yes. Some kind of roller where you rolled and it would roll the dust off or something. Mr. Sticky or not. And it worked for a week, and then it was useless, like most things you buy at the fair. And each year, this Mr. Sticky's all over the place, and the next year, she's going to go tell the girl how useless that product is. And now she wasn't rude like I was, but she's going, and this poor young teenager, she's giving her an earful. This thing is not worth a nickel. She didn't say that, but it's, and I said, Sue, think of that as being your granddaughter. She has no, all she's there, she could care less about that Mr. Sticky. All she's cared about is she's putting the hours in so she can get her paycheck at the end of the week. So it, now if you're talking to the owner of the thing, the one, okay, different story, right? And again, she did not act unbecomingly. But I always laugh when she kind of acts out of character. Because that doesn't happen often. It's usually me not acting in character. But when you have something go wrong, remember, it probably is not the cashier. It's probably not that service person. You know, I correct the wrong, but, you know, calm down when you talk to them, right? Because you're example. Anybody else? Huh? Don't kill the messenger. Amen to that. I love that one. That's for sure. All right, let's move on. Let's question number four. No, we're not going to have time to that. Okay, here's what I want you to know in verse 4. Make sure you have in your answer verse 13 as to why, verse 13 through 15, and I want you to look at verse 17, and we'll talk more about it next week. Let's go to verse 17. Chapter 4. Remember, the topic under consideration is what? Christians who have passed away. Christians who have died. This is not focusing to the unbeliever. This is focusing to the child of God. This is not talking about a secret rapture because you got the trumpet of the Lord. That's not too secret. The point is he's trying to address an issue. Now, as you look in verse 17, you should be in chapter 4 and verse 17. New King James Version puts it this way. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Does all of your version have with them? Okay. Who are the them? The Christians who had passed away. Keep and raised first. That's what I'm saying. In its context, it has nothing to do with a secret rapture. It has to do with what happened to those Christians who died and what he says, you're going to meet those people in the air. The them is the Christians on 13, 14, and 15, correct? So when somebody of your religious neighbors want to go to tell you there's going to be a secret rapture, and they give you 1 Thessalonians 4, what that is telling you is they've been led to misunderstand. What I tell you, people have to be helped to misunderstand the truth. The truth is very simple. Here's the issue. Here's how Paul handles it. Now in chapter 5, then he goes and talks about the second coming of the Lord. Make sense? Okay, we're out of time. We'll finish up and go into 5 next week.